Welcome to Back to Health with Dr. Cale Copeland. He has been a chiropractic provider to the Victoria Grizzlies Junior A Hockey Club for 9 seasons and involved in healthcare for over 2 decades. Get ready to be inspired to greater vitality, performance, energy, and health as he interviews experts every 2 weeks. Now here's Dr. Cale.
Hey everyone, this is Dr. Cale Copeland and I'm your host for Back to Health. Thank you for being here. This is episode number 14 and today I'll be speaking with parenting expert Allison Rees. I'm really excited today because research has shown us that the quality of our relationships has the biggest impact on our fulfillment and parenting has a big impact on the quality of our relations. So this is going to be a big deal today. She and I did an episode, I think it was about a month or two ago, but I'm really pumped today because we're going to get a chance to delve a little more deeply into a specific topic, and today we're going to talk about why punishment doesn't work. So excited. Before she joins us, if you have any questions, you can call us anytime, 250-592-5553. That's Victoria Family Chiropractic, or you can check us out online at www.vfchiro.com. So here's a bit about Allison. She's been teaching life seminars since 1993. Lots of professionals and parents have attended these courses in Victoria through word of mouth. It's become one of the largest and longest running parenting programs in the world, running for over 30 years, with an average of 100 parents attending each 8-week course. Her articles appear in the Parenting Today, The Times Colonist, Family 411, The Island Parent Magazine, with her monthly cutouts. She's also co-authored 2 books, Sidestepping the Power Struggle and The Parent-Child Connection. She's been featured as the expert on various television programs and was the co-host of the Island Parent radio show for many years. Her presentations are down to earth, honest to the point. Her lectures are packed with insights, humor, and audience interaction. While her subjects are pre-planned, her lectures are not, which is why people don't tire of the material when they repeat the courses, which is a good thing to do. She's supported thousands of families in the community and is rapidly expanding her knowledge to other professionals worldwide. Allison also facilitates a couples course and a workplace course. For more information about her services, please visit her website at www.lifeseminars.com. Allison, thanks for being here.
Hi.
And welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Cale. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting topic, and I guess I want to get right into it. So what do you mean exactly by punishment doesn't work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a huge subject, isn't it? And sometimes I don't even know where to start. You know, one of the big things that I see teaching the courses is that we often punish kids for behavior that they are incapable of correcting because of their temperaments or their level of maturity. And so while they can behave differently when they're calm and things are fine, you know, when kids get upset, they don't have the ability to, you know, rationally say, gee, I'm feeling upset right now, and manage their behavior. And so when punishment really goes sideways, it's when we're punishing kids, as I just said, for things that they're not capable of correcting.
Right.
And also punishment is often, you know, in the heat of the moment when the parent is angry and the negative emotions of the parent tend to take over.
Right.
You know, and so just to be clear, there are times in our parenting experience where we need to follow through, you know, with a consequence, and, you know, taking action if a child hasn't been wearing a helmet and, you know, instead of just nagging them not to wear a helmet, of course, we're going to have a conversation and say, look, this matters so much that if you ride without a helmet, here's the deal. You know, we're going to remove the bike for a day or two or whatever. And if it's summertime, that might be enough just to put an emphasis on how important the issue is. So, you know, when it comes to a safety issue, a follow-through can stop us just from nagging and just being full of hot air.
Right.
You know, sometimes kids need to correct something that's happened. If they borrowed your tools and they're out there and they're rusty now because they've left them outside, maybe they need to help clean them. But these are, you know, these are family issues. These areas where we may have a follow-through are areas that are really important and really matter. And often what happens is parents use punishment for areas where, kids could just hear how the parent is feeling, hear the impact of the child's behavior rather than having to be punished.
That's tricky, isn't it? Because I was funny, right at the start of when you were talking there, you mentioned, a lot of times kids can't articulate, I'm feeling really frustrated and it's hard to listen. I mean, I think that's hard for adults. I mean, even in the heat of the moment, whether you're 40 years old or 30-something years old, I mean, let alone the fact that you're right, that these kids have got, or not necessarily kids, but people have different developmental stages and, so that's a huge one. So not only are we sometimes maybe confused with what our expectations are of the kids, it sounds like what you're mm-hmm. saying, but also too, yeah. when you come at it in a heated way, yeah. that's tricky too.
It is, because what happens when we are upset and we bark out a consequence, we are coming from usually our own limited capacity, lizard brain.
Yeah.
And in the heat of the moment, we're not necessarily going to be fair. And the problem is when we come out with punishment, which let me just define, when I talk about punishment, usually parental anger is involved. It is often in the heat of the moment where it's decided.
Yeah.
It's often not related to the behavior, whatever it is that we come up with. Sometimes it's over the top. But the child doesn't actually learn anything when we go at correcting behavior like that. What actually happens is the negative emotions take over. So sometimes it's more about the parental anger and the child feeling hurt and reacting to the parental anger, as opposed to really being open enough to understand how their behavior actually impacted the parent or somebody else.
Wow.
Now, there's a saying, it's an old saying, and it is, the spanking clears the ledger of caring.
And sorry, so say that again?
The spanking clears the ledger of caring, if you will, caring and responsibility.
Oh.
So punishment and reward actually keeps kids at a lower level of moral development.
Hmm.
Punishment is kind of like, okay, I did this thing that wasn't okay, and now I've paid my dues. I don't have to think about it anymore.
Mm.
You've taken this thing away from me, or I'm so upset and angry with you that, now I'm just focused on being upset and angry, but the actual thing that I did, I'm not even going to think about that. And why should I? You've punished me.
Right.
I've paid my dues. Why do I need to sit with this? So often people stay stuck at this level of moral development.
Holy.
It's only bad if I get caught. Yeah, and it's only good if I'm rewarded for it. I mean, so, the higher level of moral development, of course, is understanding how our behavior impacts other people. And, getting our kids to a level where they actually care is often when we can express ourselves, So here's a good example. And it's,
sure.
If a child comes home late, we could get angry and send them to their rooms and tell them they're grounded for a week.
Right.
Or we could actually say, I was so worried and so scared. I didn't know where you were, and I need to know that you're safe. And for a child to understand that their behavior had an impact on you, that there's a loving message to that. I care for you. I need to know you're safe. There might be a request. Can we figure out what to do next time about this? But it opens the child to considering how you might be feeling. And that right there, Cale, is so huge.
Wow. Like, that's mind-blowing. So I get it. So in essence, really, instead of just exploding, you're more saying, hey, here's how I feel. And not only are you sort of respecting their boundaries, but in a way you're kind of teaching them that, hey, your actions do impact other people. So not it's almost having like a double effect in a positive way as opposed to a negative effect. Does that sound
totally.
That's amazing. Wow.
One of the things that a lot of educators and psychologists have talked about is that when we don't put our needs forward to children in a healthy, reasonable way, they grow up not even thinking that we have them.
Right.
You know, but when they realize that, gee, we feel worried and we have certain needs for fairness and contribution to the, you know, the household and things like that, they start to get this realization that, oh, other people have feelings just like I do and needs just like I do. And it really does take kids to a much higher level of, again, moral development.
Wow.
Now, there's more to this. You know, I'll just say a few more things about punishment. I mean, we all go there from time to time where we just feel so frustrated that, you know, we want to take everything away and take all the pictures off their wall in the bedroom and, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And then we calm down and realize that, you know, we overreacted and then usually it's much more fair to go back to the child and kind of have a redo type thing.
Yeah.
But there is also another point that you may not have expected to talk about today, and it's kind of a mouthful, but it's called antecedent management. And antecedents are triggers to children's behavior. And if an antecedent, a trigger, is very powerful, using a punishment will not only not work at all, but it will set the child up for, you know, just feeling helpless, quite frankly.
So when you were saying a trigger, do you mean the child's behavior is triggering something in the adult, or the adult's response is triggering something in the child?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. It means that there might be a trigger that is driving the child's behavior.
Oh.
And if we're using punishment, we're never really going to get to the bottom of what the cause of the behavior is. So,
oh, okay.
So, yeah, and an antecedent, you know, or trigger can be anything, Kale, from, you know, just the time of day, hunger and fatigue.
Right.
Life events, moving, you know, but they can also just think about this. Just imagine if you have, say, a 10-year-old and he's being bullied at school.
Right.
And he's now starting to act out at home because he's, you know, he's upset and he's stressed, but he's not really articulating what's going on.
Wow.
And so, you know, now he's being punished for his behavior. And there's much less of a chance to actually find out what's going on for him when we punish him.
Oh, for
sure. You know,
sure.
Because we're not opening up to the relationship. We're not opening up ways of communicating and getting to the source of the problem. And so now for this kid, it's a double whammy. It's happening on the front end, being bullied, and it's happening on the back end, getting punished.
Holy camoly. Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I definitely wasn't expecting this level of depth to the topic here today, but it's incredible. I mean, I guess one of the things I'm kind of hearing is that there's a lot of like need for awareness, even for the parent to know, hey, you know what, this has crossed a boundary of mine, and being aware of that, but also compassion too. That hey, yeah, maybe there's a reason why someone's acting this way, and you know. Mm-hmm. Identifying that and then maybe seeing if you can get to the bottom of it. That's really powerful, isn't it?
It is, because again, if the trigger is powerful, a punishment or even just a nice consequence, it's not going to work because the trigger keeps coming at the child. And
right.
Until, you know, the trigger can be identified, the behavior is basically going to continue. Yeah, and so that is a really big piece to parenting, and it's not something that I hear educators talking about that much.
Right.
You know, we tend to focus on punishment and reward and, you know, consequences, whereas this is a much more supportive way of parenting.
Yeah, it's empathic, it's compassionate, it seems like it would be one that would foster a greater relationship with someone, is what it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah, and the child, you know, kids that are getting in trouble for behavior that they have a hard time controlling, it really affects their self-esteem. So, you know, an example I used the other evening was, you know, the 7-year-old coming home from school with a pink slip because she's distractible and talkative and creative, and, you know, she's getting in trouble at school for talking, and then she comes home and now the parents are punishing her for getting in trouble at school, you know, and it just feels like she has no place where she can just be accepted and supported.
Yeah.
You know, so instead we need to, be able to realize that our kids shouldn't be punished for behavior that is based on, as I said at the beginning, you know, immaturity and temperament and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we're going to have time on this particular podcast to go over that, but I think that sounds like a huge element. I mean, if there's parents or if there are people listening or even, you know, siblings, you know, people can have dramatically different personalities, and one person might be more of a withdrawn, quiet person, and then you might have someone who's just naturally more kind of hyper, and they're loud and they're engaging, and so I guess what you're saying is that there are inherent genetic tendencies that people have, and maybe oftentimes as parents we don't recognize that and accept that, and then you end up punishing someone for really what is just who they are.
Exactly,
or even where they're at.
Where they're at, exactly, where they're at maturity-wise or who they are. Like, you know, if you take a very active, intense kid, they're going to be fairly impulsive. And if they keep getting in trouble for their impulsive reactions, well, first of all, it doesn't help. And secondly, they start to feel like they can't do anything right, you know.
Yeah,
so it's interesting. And, I mean, I'm not saying that there's never a time to follow through, but, you know, Kale, think about this. Imagine if you came home late from a golfing tournament and your wife was upset with you and, you know, she just looked at you and said, okay, fine, that's it. Give me those golf clubs. You won't be golfing for a month. And by the way, while we're at it, give me your cell phone too, you know? I mean, it's kind of crazy when we think this kind of thing is actually going to teach a child.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
You know, yeah, instead of being able to understand, oh, wait a minute, my wife was really worried about me. I need to phone her next time or something, you know.
Well, that's a great example. Yeah. I mean, I'm really glad that we're talking about this too, because I thought, you know, if someone saw the title of this podcast, like Punishment Doesn't Work, and I might change the title to something else, I think a lot of people might go, you know, is this some sort of new age crap? And so I guess, and I'm really refreshed that obviously there needs to be boundaries and there need to potentially be consequences. So I thought, why don't we expand on that a little bit? I mean, why don't you touch on kind of like, what are some things that there needs to be boundaries about? And, and if a boundary gets crossed, then maybe we can talk about constructive ways to deal with that, as opposed to in the heat of the moment, blurting out something that you regret that's meaningless and frustrating.
Yeah. Okay. So, in the course, we talk about kid issues and family issues, and family issues are issues that you need to stand in your authority, your position of authority over, you know. So issues that are really important are safety issues, contributing, you know, to the neutral area of the home. So as kids get older, there's an expectation for contribution.
Like, you mean like household chores, you mean?
Yep, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Respecting each other's privacy and space, and, you know, so there are certain areas where we do need to exercise those boundaries.
Okay.
But the thing is, they're so obvious, you know, they are such important areas that we often have a chance to discuss those limits or expectations at a neutral time, you know, so that we can say, a very obvious one is, you know, how important it is to wear your helmet, and this is why I'm concerned. What shall we do if you don't wear it? And so the idea of being able to plan ahead with a consequence, you're doing it with the child, you're discussing it with the child, and then you simply get to follow through without the lecture and admonishing and the anger. You can even express sorrow that they've lost their mic privileges for 2 days. You know, we can try again another time.
Okay.
I'll give you a really quick example. When my son was in elementary school, it was in the days where the little scooters became very popular, the little silver scooters. And, you know, so the kids were riding them into the schoolyard, and it was just chaos. So the school had a meeting. There was a pack meeting, and there was a decision made that if any of the kids rode their scooters in the schoolyard, they'd have their scooters taken away, you know, until the end of the day or possibly the next day. And you know, the parents mostly agreed, and the children were told that this is the rule, this is why, and this will be the follow-through. And my son came home from school one day, and he was so upset because he didn't have a scooter. And I said to him, I said, oh, what happened? And he said, oh, Mr. Smith came and took my scooter away, and I don't have it anymore. And I said, well, did Mr. Smith yell at you? No. Did he call you a name? No. Did you know this was the rule ahead of time? Yes. And I said, I'm going to phone Mr. Smith and congratulate him for doing such a great job.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was reasonable. It was action just to say we really mean this because people are getting hurt.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to give you an older example. A lot of parents of teens say, well, wait a minute. I can't be running around punishing my kids. And that's true. I mean, a lot of parents ground their kids, you know, and it can really backfire because if we get into punishment and too much control with teens, they just go underground. You know,
right.
They just do things anyway. And they just try to avoid the punishment as much as they can, you know. So we have to be careful with that kind of thing. But when my daughter was 16, she had two best friends, and they would stay at our place on a Friday night quite often. And I realized it was because they got to stay out a bit later at my place. So this didn't feel right to me. And I wanted to declare a boundary. And I said to, you know, the two girls, I said, look, here's the curfew time. Well, I said it to my daughter, too. And, you know, girls, if you come home late, I'll just simply drive you home tonight. But the reason I'm doing this is I want to respect your parents' boundaries as well.
Right.
So, you know, we talked about it. It was something that was important to me. And when they came home late, I simply said, keep your shoes on. I'm just going to drive you home. And I just simply took action.
Yeah.
And that is a very different experience, but it's not something you're doing left, right, and center. It's something that really, truly represents a boundary that matters.
Yeah, so you followed through, which is important. That sometimes is hard, I think, you know, because sometimes the kids might not be happy with the follow through, but or the teenagers. But a couple other questions because we're kind of running out of time. But so there's a couple situations. Like if it's a safety issue, for instance, you know, mm-hmm. you're not going to wait till a neutral time, are you? If it's something that's occurring in the moment and it's a safety issue, you're going to more step in. I would imagine, correct?
Oh yeah.
So if it's a non-safety issue, say for instance you come in the door and something hasn't been done, or something drives you crazy, mm-hmm. and you're fuming.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, mm-hmm. you're saying, just breathe, breathe, and do not react. And at a time when you say neutral time, you mean like what? Like when people are calm during a meal? Is that sort of what neutral time means?
That kind of thing. You know, now let's just look at that scenario though. Here's a built-in consequence that's commonly talked about, but it's very effective. You walk in and, you know, there's stuff lying all over the place and it needs to get cleaned up. I mean, first you express yourself. I see, you know, coats and shoes lying in the living room floor,
right.
and I would like them picked up. But the built-in consequence is when you clean up your things, then you can have freedom to do whatever it is, to go out, to go on that screen. When you enter the dishwasher, then, you know, you can go to Kate's house. So sometimes you can use that kind of strategy.
Okay.
But it's not coming out of the blue because it's something that's expected. It's a limit that's consistent.
Yeah.
Now, here's a safety, you know, safety issue. I remember when my daughter had her N, and you're only allowed one passenger when you have your N driving. And I looked out the window and I could see a second friend hiding in the back seat as my daughter was reversing out of the driveway. And I went out there and I stood behind the car with, you know, hands on hips and said, you are not going anywhere. Put the car back in the driveway.
Yeah.
And you actually won't be driving until I can trust that you understand why this consequence or this limit matters.
Right.
And so that was in the heat of the moment.
Yeah, well, and I guess you had to do it, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk to her later because if she got in an accident with a third person, it'd be a devastating consequence.
I mean, there's a bit of an art to this, too. I mean, it's obviously not easy, right? I mean, there's discipline and there's, you know, and I'm sure, you know, parents make a few mistakes. I know I do. So, wow. I mean, that was, wow. I mean, I had no idea we were going to get into this. I mean, what a terrific topic. And I know that you'd mentioned just really quickly, I think just for time for one last thought, the language that you use there, I just wonder if you could just quickly go through a sample statement there, because I know that you use really specific language there when you were identifying what you saw. Like, for instance, you walked in the house and there was stuff everywhere. Do you want to just for our listeners, just go through that really quickly, about in a calm environment when there's no heat to the moment, how can you express your boundaries in a respectful way that the child's going to listen to you or the teenager is going to listen to you?
Yeah, or anyone for that
or
matter.
Anyone.
And it's, yeah, exactly. It's to get rid of the aggressive assumptions, you know, by saying, okay, you're so lazy. You're always leaving your things lying around. You never listen to me. You don't help. You don't help with this. You don't help with that. I mean, there's so many ways we could go.
Yeah.
Instead of just making an observation, I see shoes on the floor and, you know, a coat hanging over the chair. It's important to me that we all contribute and clean up after ourselves. And then just make a clean request. Please put your coat away before 4 o'clock or, you know, that kind of thing. But we're getting rid of speaking in ways that create resistance.
Right. Because we can do that, right? Like, I mean, it's pretty easy to get someone's back up, isn't it?
Oh, and it is usually the language that gets in the way of winning cooperation with our kids.
Yeah. I mean, if you came in the house and you said, I noticed that there's this and that, and I've told you so many times. I mean, the chances of that being a positive outcome for either the parent or the child are probably not high.
Well, Kale, you just articulated the entire thing, and that is that the negative emotions of the parent would completely take over, and now that kid can't just simply hear, oh, I left my coat and shoes in the living room, and I just need to clean it up.
Yeah, because it's important to mom that the house is clean. And then, you know, they're hearing boundaries, right? Like you said, you're teaching them this moral compass, right? That, hey, it's an important thing that the house is, you know, and that we're all a part of it. Incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
So you're holding up needs and values instead of attacking the kid and throwing your anger in there.
I just so hope our listeners get this, and I just think that it's it's just so massive. And what I'm really excited about too is that you and I are going to do a couple more parts. So that's going to be really exciting. We've got a couple of the topics we're going to touch on. So, Allison, thank you so much for joining tonight. I think that was just incredible.
That's just great. I really enjoy our talks, Kale.
So unfortunately, we're out of time. To anyone listening, obviously, I hope that this helps you, helps your family and your relationships. To Allison, thank you. And we look forward to you being with us again for the next episode of Back to Health.
Thanks for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this episode. For more information about Dr. Kale, visit his website, vfchiro.com. where you can read his blog and hit links to his YouTube channel and Facebook page for videos and more. Book an appointment with Dr. Kale today at Victoria Family Chiropractic by calling 250-592-5553 and get started on a path to being your best.